محمد رويت بالنور طينته، محمد رويت بالنور طينته، محمد لم يزل نورا من القيامة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's welcome our guest, and that is Mulana Salman Yunus. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله مولانا.
مولانا, how's everything on your side?
الحمد لله, all well, all good. شكرا, الحمد لله, no complaints.
الحمد لله. مولانا stays in central Durban, is that correct?
جي, correct.
جي. Okay, and how's everything, the weather, everything that side?
Not too bad, alhamdulillah. We're having some hot days recently. We had some, alhamdulillah, some good rain last night, and then again today the sun is shining. So, alhamdulillah for all conditions.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Mulana, what's on Mulana's mind, and what does Mulana feel that today we need to discuss about this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. I know all of us were looking for the moon last night. It was overcast here in Durban. So even though it was overcast, but to fulfill the sunnah, to look up and say we did what was in our capability, and we did that day, alhamdulillah, and we were waiting for the confirmation from our akabirin, from the seniors, to give us the confirmation whether it was sighted or not sighted. And majority of us will be aware that the moon was not sighted last night. And sure, as such, we are blessed with one more day of Rajab, alhamdulillah. And then tonight, inshallah, will be the start of Sha'ban. And that is when people will feel the crunch time, that after Sha'ban, now Ramadan is coming. And that is what I thought would be appropriate to discuss, inshallah, that the preparation for Ramadan, the preparation for Ramadan in our spiritual sense, in our spiritual sense of tawbah, istighfar, and dua, that how can we get these aspects done now, so that when Ramadan comes, we can start off fresh. And just as before the conversation started, alhamdulillah, I see the Tafsira Burda was playing, and how beautiful that was sounding. And we know today is Thursday, inshallah, alhamdulillah, and tomorrow will be Friday, inshallah. So from Thursday, our preparation begins for Friday. From Thursday, our preparation begins for Friday. But just like how when that Eid, the moon of Eid, we are waiting for, that preparation for Eid starts well in advance, a couple days in advance, even sometimes before even Ramadan, people start preparing for Eid. So we have this Eid that comes every week, alhamdulillah, for Friday, with so much virtue as being attached to it. And we must not lose that importance of Friday. That auspiciousness of that Friday needs to be alive in our hearts. I remember growing up, alhamdulillah, from that Thursday night, you know, our parents, our mother will burn the Duban, our father will sit to all of us, we read Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Yasin. And the environment is created in the house, that the children of the house growing up know that this is a special day in Islam. And the next day, we know, then that morning, where again the Duban is burning, everyone is sitting with Durood, and the Jummah lunch where people have, that's how we have that Eid lunch. That importance of that Friday is created in our children's minds. So this is part of the salient features, the sha'air of Islam, that we must not forget and we must not do it out. And sad to say, but the trend is such now that even a Friday is no auspicious day in a believer's life. That we see so many children, they do not realize that Friday is a sacred day. All they know is that there's a Jumu'ah prayer. But more than that, they don't know and unaware of. So we as parents, we should try to instill this understanding of this greatness of this day in the heart of our children, so that they also will grow up understanding this to be a sacred day. And let it not become like how the Jews and Christians have this day, but they have no value, or holds no weight. It's just a day where they know they go to church or even don't go to church. That is it. But we as believers, we have been given this Friday, alhamdulillah. So let us honor it and let us fulfill the rights of our Friday. And it starts from Friday night with abundant durood sharif. From Thursday, we say we prepare with istighfar. We prepare with abundant istighfar of Thursday to cleanse their heart of any covering that might be on it, so that the nur of the durood sharif can penetrate their heart and let us get the effects of the durood, inshallah. So going back to our conversation, inshallah, that we see one more day of Rajab. And some people might say, I was waiting for Sha'ban and I was hoping for it to be Sha'ban. But Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners. And Allah Ta'ala has given us one more day of Rajab so that we can have one more day of preparation. Another day of preparation. You know, sometimes you're getting a guest that is coming, a visitor that you are preparing for at home. And you are still trying to sort out the home to make it welcoming. And that person phones and says, you know what, my flight is delayed by a couple hours. I'll be a little bit late. The people at home, they feel a little bit more at ease. They say, we've got a little bit more time to prepare so that when this guest is coming, we can welcome them in complete ease and complete goodness. So in a similar manner, we should look at it as a positive light that Allah Ta'ala has given us one more day to prepare. Now, utilizing the same example, when a person is getting a visitor, example, someone, their parents are coming or someone prominent is coming, and they want to set up, maybe they got a guest room or they got in within the house, a special area. Now they say, you know what, for long now, we never do up the house. This person is a very dear and close one to us. Let us get some new furniture. Let us get a new bed. Let us maybe do up the bathroom a little bit so they feel nice when they are here. So all this is done. They get all the new furniture. They paint the house. They put new railings, whatever it is. However, when that person comes now, they find it over-cluttered. They find it overcrowded, the room, the area. And then the person asks, but why? Because we forgot to remove all the old stuff. We brought all the new stuff in, but we forgot to get rid of the old stuff from the house so that that's no longer taking up space, so that benefit can be taken from the new stuff totally. Now, this is a similar example in our life. Alhamdulillah, we are all looking forward to Ramadan. That we already have a plan. This Ramadan, so many khatams I'm going to do, so much nafl salah every day, tahajjud, this is how I'm going to wake up. We have that enthusiasm and excitement in our heart for Ramadan that is coming, inshallah, may we all see it. Now, whilst we are getting ready to do so much of good, have we removed the bad from our life before that? Have we removed those things that might be an obstacle from us attaining maximum benefit from this good? And what is referred to by this? Those sins in our lives that we might have committed. Have we made tawbah and istighfar to remove it completely from our life? So now when Ramadan comes, our hearts are empty. Our hearts got no covering, no black dots on it, no blockages. So that nur of tilawat of Quran, the nur of tarawih, salah, 20 rakat, tarawih, salah, all this year can penetrate into our heart, that fasting can come with full effect. If we got that covering of sins, then we are not going to see the true beauty of that ibadat, of that worship of Allah Ta'ala. So before Ramadan comes, inshallah, we have to see how we can do tawbah and istighfar to remove whatever sins we might have in our life so that we can take maximum benefit, just like how that room had to be get rid of all the old furniture, all the old fittings, so the new stuff can now be really cherished and really appreciated. The tawbah and istighfar, we are not going to a lengthy discussion regarding it. We are just going to highlight the difference between tawbah and istighfar. So like a child that has a crayon in his hand, and he goes and he draws on the wall. Now the parent will come and see the child, and he'll tell the child, you know what, this is not right. You're supposed to draw on a piece of paper. The wall is not a place for drawing. So that child understands the parent now, and the child never resorts to doing that action again. From there onwards, he always uses his drawing board or his coloring book, etc. Now, next time a visitor comes to the house, the visitor comes in and he's sitting in the lounge, and the visitor sees the drawing on the wall. Now, what happens? They ask the parent, hey, what happened here? Then the mother will have to explain, you know what, this is what happened, what this is what the child did. But nevertheless, it's a child. The point of the story is that the visitor noticed the drawing. Why did the visitor notice the drawing? Because that mother thereafter didn't take the necessary means to remove that crayon from the wall. Had that crayon been removed, there would have been no effect or no way of knowing that there was ever a drawing on this wall. It was totally removed, even though it was there before. Similarly in our lives, are the sins in our lives. That we might have committed sins in our life, but Allah Ta'ala has given us this tawbah to make. Tawbah is such that we, like that small child, we make the resolution never to go back to that sin. And we never go back, inshallah. That is Tawbah. Istighfar is like that mother now taking that sponge and scrubbing that wall so that sin can never be seen again. So that sin is never known again. It is wiped out completely. And when a person makes Tawbah and Istighfar, we know that from our good, from our books of deeds, then that sin is wiped out also. So in a similar way, alhamdulillah, many of us, we make Tawbah for many of the wrongs we have done before. But have we made Istighfar? Have we made Istighfar for that sin? Sometimes we just make Tawbah and we never go back to that sin. Tawbah means we don't resort back to those sins again now. But the Istighfar of, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, how much are we making? How much is that in our life to remove the effects of the sin, to remove all the negativity of that sin from our life? So a person might say, like the person who maybe used to smoke before, and he say, I gave up smoking 20 years now. 20 years, I gave up smoking. But he goes, sees the doctor says, you've got lung cancer. So I say, but doctor, for 20 years, I'm not smoking now. What the doctor will reply? The doctor will say, the damage was already done that time. 20 years ago, it was already done that time. You're only seeing the effects of it now. Now, if we do not make that istighfar for our sins, we must not. It must not be such that later on in our life, the effects of that sin catches up with us. Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah Ta'ala loves to forgive. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That, O my beloved servant, who has wronged himself, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't lose hope. Allah will forgive. Allah loves to forgive. Allah loves it when that servant turns to Allah over and over. Oh Allah, you forgive me. Oh Allah, you forgive me. And we should never become happy that, you know what, I made istighfar today. That's done. Finish and done. We should always have this, that let me always turn to Allah in istighfar. Because we never know every day how much sins that we might be perpetrating without our knowledge. So that is our understanding of Tawbah and Istighfar in a nutshell, with those examples, inshallah. I think it will be very simple for us to understand the need of Tawbah and the need of Istighfar and the crucial role they both play. So sometimes the sin, we don't go back to it, but the effects are still in our life. The effects, we see it, and then what happens? We want to know what is going wrong in our life. That is because we never make Istighfar. We have to make Istighfar. And we take that sin by name. You say, oh Allah, such and such sin I had committed. Oh Allah, I'm sorry. I do not know what came over me. How can I disobey you? Forgive me for this sin. By name, if we can remember the sin, take that name. We are talking to Allah only. We are talking to Allah only. Allah knows everything. So by acknowledging our wrongs, that's why we know the dua of Sayyidul Istighfar wa abu bi zambi. You say, oh Allah, I acknowledge my wrong. Faghfirli maghfiratan. So Allah, you forgive me with great forgiveness. Tawbah and Istighfar, very, very crucial in our life for us to continue for this month of Ramadan coming, how we can remove this. Another thing relating to this aspect of sins in a person's life is that we see sometimes a person says, when Ramadan comes, I'll stop it. When Ramadan comes, I'll stop it. Just yesterday I was telling the children in Madrasa that sometimes we think we are young, and Allah Ta'ala made it such a day before. There was a small, a two-month-year-old baby we performed the janazah for, and the students were there. So this was an eye-opener for them as well. So I explained to them, saying that sometimes we talk with our friends, and we say that, you know, when I grow up, I'll start reading my salah. When I get married, I'll do this year. When I'm bigger, I'll start obeying Allah Ta'ala. Firstly, the first and foremost thing is, what guarantee do we have that we're going to reach that age? There's no guarantee. Like that child was 2 months old, we performed the janazah, because there was no guarantee that the child was going to live any longer. Allah Ta'ala wills that whatever age the child will pass away. We too, whatever age Allah wills that we will pass away, we will pass away. So whilst we got the life now, let us do it. Sometimes we say when Ramadan comes, then we will change. But rather before Ramadan, let us change. And when Ramadan comes, let us solidify it. Let us make it strong and strengthen it, that now when Ramadan passes, it doesn't break. It doesn't come to an end. Sometimes a person goes for Umrah, and likewise he thinks, when I go for Umrah, now I'll stop all my sins, and when I come back, I'll be clean. But how many times you see majority of people that when they go for Umrah, they come back 1-2 weeks, they are straight, and after that they relapse back into the old ways. Why? Because that habit was with them. That habit is something that we have to break. It becomes a habit to do certain things, certain actions, to go certain places, that becomes part of our human nature now. That without it, we find it incomplete life. So example is given of that fan that spins. Now, if that phone is on, and it's spinning, 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 when you switch off the switch, it doesn't stop spinning instantly. It slows down slowly, 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 and after a couple, maybe a minute or so, now it reaches a dead stop. Similarly, our sins in our life, when we switch it off, but the effect and that yearning for it doesn't end, stay in time. Like the fan took time to slow down, likewise our bodies take time to adjust. And when we're getting this opportunity of Ramadan, where we are going to be in maximum ibadat, maximum iman, let it not be such that we're stopping that sin in the start of Ramadan, on the start of Ramadan. But our bodies throughout Ramadan is still spinning, desiring that sin, still spinning in the effects of that sin. Rather, before Ramadan comes, let us eradicate the effects and the spinning of the sins totally. So now when Ramadan comes, we're no more busy. We're no more having to fight that sin. Rather, now we can just excel in ibadah. Now we can just excel in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because we've already cleansed ourselves. We already removed the sins totally. So this is what this month of Sha'ban coming up is what our mind should be on. That how, whatever bad habits I have, whatever is going to hamper my progress in Ramadan, let me give it up now. This Ramadan is a golden opportunity. It's an excuse. It is basically an excuse for us to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Because at every moment we know we can die. At every moment we can meet Allah Ta'ala. So every moment we're supposed to be getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. But Ramadan, Allah has given us as an excuse that here's a month for you, for your ibadat, to get closer to me. And psychologically now we know something is coming up which we can perceive. Therefore, our mind starts to prepare for it. So let us utilize this month of Sha'ban for this tawbah and istighfar to remove the spinning of sins, to remove the effects of sins, to remove the darkness, the coverings of sins from our heart. So when Ramadan comes, that Quran is entering directly, that Salah is entering directly, the Zikr is entering directly, the Nasihat you might be hearing is entering directly. And in a state of fasting where our nafs is subjugated, where our nafs is weakened, now it will be more even easier to get into that routine of ibadah. For 30 days, if you do it, inshallah, imagine after Ramadan, how easier it will be to continue. That's why you see sometimes when Ramadan starts, at the beginning of Ramadan, what happens? You see that the masjids are full, Taraweeh is full the first week. After that day, drops down. And again, when before Laylatul Qadr, we see it starts picking up slowly, slowly. Because our bodies have been in that routine of not doing it and not wanting to do it because of the pulling of the sins that is keeping us down. So may Allah Ta'ala make us understand this aspect of tawbah and istighfar. It is not something ordinary, but rather it's something we need to contemplate and realize that we have to work on ourselves. And what is the solution? What is the solution to give up sins? What is the solution to turn back to Allah? There is one solution, the love of Allah. The love of Allah Ta'ala is what will get us back to Allah. If you love someone, then whatever that person wants, you will do. No matter how difficult it might seem. You know, many a times we hear of the story of Layla and Majnun. What crazy stuff Majnun did for Layla. But he was deeply in love. That love is what drew him to such action that a person called him Majnun, a mad person. But in his love, he did this here. This was a love for another creation of Allah. Imagine we as the creation of Allah have the love for the Creator in our hearts. Then whatever His commands is, whatever His ways of showing us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, that we'll want to do. Why? It's my beloved. I am pleasing my beloved. I am pleasing my beloved. And one way which we can get this love of Allah Ta'ala is via dua. We know that Ramadan, a very crucial part of Ramadan is dua. Allah Ta'ala, after the verses of fasting, Allah Ta'ala immediately says, actually in between the verses of fasting, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَيِّمٌ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about dua. when my banda or my servant asks regarding me, I am close. Now look at the beauty of Quran over here. Allah didn't say qala fa inni qareeb. Allah never say qala. Allah Ta'ala never say, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them fa inni qareeb. Tell them I am close. Allah replies immediately. He left out the word qala to show how close Allah Ta'ala is to us. How close Allah Ta'ala is when we are making dua to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. The word qala is not even there. That is the beauty of Quran, to show us the closeness that Allah Ta'ala is with us when we are making dua at all times. So turn to Allah in dua. That is what will create that connection, that link, that bond with Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes we don't even make dua. That is why the imams, they make a small dua to encourage us to make dua. Not because it is the sunnah way to make dua loud, but rather to encourage us, because ask ourselves, if it wasn't for that 1 minute, 30 seconds dua after the Fard Salah, will we actually make dua? What connection do we have with Allah? This dua is our direct link with Allah Ta'ala. And when you love someone, you don't want to stop talking to them. And the more you speak, the more love is created. Like that husband and wife who just got married, the proper Islamic Shari'i way, not knowing each other beforehand, not knowing talking or speaking, but rather they went and they sent a proposal, and now after this year is the first time they ever meet, the first time they ever talk as husband and wife. At initial phase, it's a bit awkward, it's a bit nervous, it's exciting. And as they start talking more and more, now that love is created. Now that understanding, that connection is created with talking. If they both stay silent throughout the marriage, you'll see there will be no meaning in the marriage. There'll be no love, no happiness in the marriage. It's that communication that builds that marriage. Likewise, with us and Allah Ta'ala, that communication that we are going to have with Allah Ta'ala is going to create that love. And tell Allah everything. Allah knows everything as it is. But by us talking to Allah, like Musa alayhi salam, when Allah Ta'ala asked him, what is in his hand? He could have just said, I got my asa, my stick. But he went on to say, I got my stick. I use it to hit the leaves. I use it to share, use it for my flock, etc. He gave reasons. And ulama say, what was the reasoning behind this? So that he could increase and lengthen his conversation with Allah Ta'ala, because he was so beloved and so meaningful with Allah Ta'ala. Likewise, with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, Mi'raj has passed recently, the discussion on Mi'raj, up and down for Salah, reducing. Ulama explain again, what was the reason? That connection with Allah was getting more, the conversation was getting more, every time up and down. With your beloved, you don't want the conversation to end. So we need to build this conversation at least 5 minutes every day. I find that the best time that the people also find it free is before the Maghrib Salah. 5 minutes before the Maghrib Salah every day, sit down and make dua. One is, if you leave it for after Salah, what happens is shaitan comes with ideas. You got this to do, you got that to do. Quickly go see the food on the stove, go see this. But before Salah, you know, we can't go anywhere. We have to read our Salah. So leave our dua before Salah. And we know from the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, between Iqamah and Adhan is when du'as are accepted as well. So keep our 5 minutes where we pour our heart off, thanking Allah for everything He has given us. Then we'll see how our conversation grows, how our love for Allah Ta'ala grows. So this dua is a means of us getting our conversation and our connection with Allah Ta'ala. And once this love and this connection of Allah Ta'ala comes, then we see how to give up those sins becomes so easy. Why? Because we're doing it for the one we love. We do it for the one that is the most beloved to us. So whatever it takes, I will do it. And just to end off on this final example, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi rahimahullah gave this example. And he says, for us to understand before we go into the example, you know, sometimes you give a box as a gift. You got a gift in the box. So a very big box you give to a person. And he opens the big box, he finds a smaller box. In the smaller box, he opens, he finds a smaller box. And just keeps on going, 4 or 5 boxes, till he finds a very small box inside. And inside that small box, he finds nothing. He finds nothing. You say, you made me a fool. This whole opening of these boxes were meaningless. On the other hand, if he opened all those big boxes until he reached a small box, and that small box had a diamond in it, now you say it was worth it. Now that small diamond gave value to all those bigger boxes. It made it more exciting. It made it more worthy and meaningful to go through it, because I found this diamond in that small box. Similarly, our bodies. We have this big box of our human body. Within this big box, we've got a small box called our heart. and within his heart, we should have the jewel of the love of Allah Ta'ala. If in that small box we do not have the jewel of the love of Allah Ta'ala, then this whole body is worthless. This whole heart is worthless. This whole world for us becomes worthless. But if we have that love of Allah in our heart, then everything becomes meaningful. Everything becomes worthy. Everything has color in life. May Allah Ta'ala let us understand from these few words of before Ramadan comes, let us prepare with Tawbah and Istighfar. We have explained the difference and understanding. Just like a spinning stand, let us give it up before the month of Ramadan comes. And the solution to give up our Tawbah and of our sins is getting the love of Allah Ta'ala. And one easy means of getting the love of Allah is via dua to Allah Ta'ala. And from there we realize that without the love of Allah in our heart, within us, then nothing is meaningful. Nothing can ever be accepted in our lives as having worthy or having any worth in our lives. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah Ta'ala grant us His love, grant us tawfiq of giving up all sins and the effects of sins to be wiped out in our lives before the Mubarak month of Ramadan comes, before the day we actually meet Allah Ta'ala. So that will be our greatest form of success. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana Salman, for that inspiring advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.